friends and members of Blessed Savior family. This evening we focus on the Lamb. As you probably know, in these midweek services, we're focusing on an animal that has a connection with Jesus and his suffering and dying. This series of messages was written by Pastor Tony Troop, and I have made a few modifications and shortened somewhat the message for today. So if there's anything you don't like, you can blame me. And anything that you take out of it that's beneficial, just give him the credit. Our text is Luke 22:7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Now tonight, the primary focus is the answer to two questions. Number one, why did the Passover lamb have to be sacrificed? And number two, why did it have to be sacrificed on this day of unleavened bread? To answer those questions, we need to go back hundreds of years before the New Testament. We have to go back to the time of Egypt and the time of Moses and the Exodus. And yet, there's a connection there in the New Testament with Jesus' last meal with his disciples on Maundy Thursday, Holy Week. This day we know as Maundy Thursday, that is the Thursday of Holy Week, and goes all the way back to the time before the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And that's where we get the first Passover. The story of the first lamb actually begins with the Israelites under that oppressive Israelite captivity that they endure. And the Israelites have grown so much larger that the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt, is concerned about their strength because of their size. And so he calls for the firstborn of all the male children, babies. And what happens is the baby boys, actually, it was all of the babies, not just the firstborn in this case. However, a baby boy by the name of Moses escaped death, and he becomes then the leader who God chooses to bring the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. God spoke to Moses, remember his call in that burning bush, to tell Pharaoh that God said, "Let my people go." You know the story. Pharaoh refused, and God sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians. Blood, frogs, flies, death of livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness. And then the last one, the 10th and final plague, the firstborn, the killing, the death of the firstborn males of the Egyptians. It said beasts also, but we're more concerned about the Egyptians, their firstborn that would lose their lives. But during this time, God provided safety for the firstborn males of the Israelites during this 10th plague. And that's where the death of the Passover lamb comes in. You heard God's instruction to the Israelites in the Old Testament reading. They answer the questions, why did the Passover lamb have to be sacrificed? Why did it have to be sacrificed on this day of unleavened bread? The death of the Passover lamb was a sacrificial death. The lamb died in place of the people, and blood from the lamb was put on the door frames over the homes of the Israelites. And God's angel of death, or God, went over those houses and did not kill the firstborn males of the Israelites. And that's why Jesus and his disciples were celebrating that Passover on Maundy Thursday, that holy week before his death on Good Friday. They were remembering how God had rescued the firstborn of the Israelites from death and also he is ultimately freeing them from Egyptian slavery as Pharaoh then consents to them leaving Egypt. However, that's only part of the story. That's the first Passover lamb. It was a shadow of the Passover lamb to come, and there are some similarities that I'll share, the second Passover lamb being Jesus. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, we're told, Christ is our Passover lamb. There's some other similarities. First, the choice of the animal to be sacrificed. Couldn't be a monkey or a dog or a pig. It had to be a lamb, a year-old lamb. Even John the Baptist draws this connection with Jesus when he says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And secondly, there is the nature of that lamb to be sacrificed. That lamb was to be unblemished. That was to be a perfect lamb. And that's where Jesus comes in as the perfect Lamb of God without sin. Thirdly, the Passover lamb was to be a sacrifice. The Israelites, the lamb was a sacrifice that saved the firstborn of the Israelites. The firstborn males of the Israelites. For us, Jesus is our Passover lamb who saves us from death and separation from God eternally. St. Paul writes, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And fourthly and lastly, the sacrifices both involve blood. The Israelites had to, quote, take some of the blood and put it on the door frames of the houses. And then, as I said, the angel of death passed over those homes of the Israelites while the firstborn of the Egyptians died that night. God promised the Israelites, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Thus, the Israelite firstborn children were saved through the blood of the Passover lamb, as it's called, the blood of the lamb that was above their doorposts. And the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins saves us from the consequence, as I said, of eternal separation from God and hell, a very real place. I know that it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. We cannot be saved from what we do or by what we do or say. We're slaves of sin, as the Israelites were slaves of Pharaoh. St. Paul expresses this when he writes in Romans 7, and this passage came to mind, I thought, depicted so well our sinful condition, and it's from Romans 7, Paul writes of our inability not to sin. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Doesn't that so well describe our own struggle with sin? We're not perfect people. That's not why we're members of Blessed Savior. We're not without sin. And we continue to sin despite the fact that we are baptized into the family of God and are children of God. We're not able not to sin at least some of the time. And any sin leads to death without Jesus. Jesus' death on Good Friday, then, is such a key for us in this season of Lent to realize the blessing of his coming and his life. We're changed from being sinful slaves of sin to becoming forgiven children of God. At the close of our service, we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns. I think it's also one of Pastor Troop's favorite hymns, and maybe others of you, The Lamb. The author of this hymn uses the refrain from Revelation 5, and we said it in the prayer of the day earlier, "Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own." Those words are from Revelation 5. Every time we sing it, we're reminded of the fact that we will sing it together in heaven. We'll all be joined there around Jesus and our loved ones who have shared that faith and that hope in Jesus. And we'll get to experience the wonder of His grace, wondrous love, as one hymn depicts it, that Jesus would sacrifice Himself for us, that the Heavenly Father would be willing to send Him so that we could join Him on that day. That day when we move from life on this earth to the riches and the glory beyond description in heaven because of Jesus canceling our sins to live with Him forever and ever. And the people of God said, Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and the hope of God through Jesus our Savior, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until He returns in glory and we join Him around that throne because of the Lamb, because of our Savior Jesus. In His name we pray and give thanks. Amen.